Now, I'm not going to reintroduce Professor Maddox for the simple reason that if I introduce him twice, probably he will think that he has half an hour to present. He only has a quarter of an hour. Thank you, Professor Maddox.
My challenge is to share with you aortic arch and aortic branch vessels. These are also somewhat rare for most individuals in the audience. I have no financial disclosures. These often have external signs that you probably have some sort of upper mediastinal injury, such as these two examples early in the discussion. Sometimes these are suicidal, sometimes they're gang, they're almost always penetrating. Thoracic outlet vascular injury is a high hematoma. A classic X-ray is depicted here. The trachea is midline. The aortic arch contour is seen as opposed to a transected aorta. Aortogram may be required, and CT and CTA, even in today's world, is often confusing. The issues are anatomy, injury to be considered, whether or not you what workup should be done, position and incision and technique, and then new options. For this lecture, positioning, incisions, and technique will be focused upon. The arteries at risk are several, but I will focus mainly on innominate, somewhat of the left internal, interthoracic carotid, and a little bit about subclavian. Vertebral and axillary I'll not cover. The vein great vessels at risk are mainly the left innominate, the superior vena cava, the azygous vein, although there are other veins involved. As you remember, there are six embryologic aortic arches, resulting in 14 aortic arch anomalies you will occasionally in this area encounter, to include a common takeoff of the innominate and carotid arteries, right subclavian off the descending thoracic aorta, and others. Principally, those areas that we're talking about are those that are depicted here in color. Workup and diagnosis is beyond the scope of this lecture. Surgeons must be involved. Most patients are urgent and they ought to go to either arteriography, a hybrid suite in the operating room, and spend a minimal time in the emergency center, probably less than 12, maybe even less than 3 minutes. There is nothing that can be done in the emergency room that can be done except make the patients worse. In the chest, in opposition to the abdomen, there are up to 14 different incisions that can be made anteriorly, posteriorly, on the side, and even through the belly. Extensions to each of these exist. For the purpose of this lecture, if you suspect a aortic arch or a branch vessel, the incision is median sternotomy with a left or right neck extension, maybe a supraclavicular extension. The others that are shown in this and subsequent slides are not that helpful. A clamshell thoracotomy is often thought of by the general surgeon not seeing much thoracic or vascular trauma to be helpful. And the clamshell should on the right side extend a little bit higher. But as seen in this clamshell incision, although you can see the heart and the ascending aorta, you really cannot see or get to the branch vessels well. So avoid a clamshell. Do a median sternotomy with a neck incision. Mediastinal traverse usually hurts posterior mediastinal structures, principally those that you'll encounter are not vascular, with the possible exception of a penetrating wound to the aorta. Most of those will be dead when they get to you. The thoracic aortic injuries are depicted here. The majority are in the descending. The majority of those are blunt, and that's beyond the scope of this talk. But notice that the ascending aorta and aortic arch can account for patients seen in your emergency center. Ascending aortic injuries occur both from penetrating and blunt. There's a 50% or higher mortality. There are trauma centers and trauma surgeons in this world who have never, ever had a survivor of a major aortic injury, except for those that are now repaired for a descending thoracic aorta. Blunt may require cardiopulmonary bypass for the areas we're talking about. Penetrating usually can be a lateral repair. Principally, think about innominate artery injuries, which have an X-ray by arteriography, as shown here. This is actually an aortic arch injury. Anomalies are common, and it's behind the innominate vein. This is a artist of that injury and the method of repair. Notice the Sutinski is a very utilitarian clamp for big vessels, be they in the chest or in the abdomen, and the repair is here. This can be accomplished probably in 12 to 15 minutes for both anastomoses, does not require cardiopulmonary bypass, hypothermia, excessive fluids, et cetera, but do put pledgets on the arch of the aorta in opposition to the use of pledgets in the heart that have no place whatsoever. The innominate artery rarely ruptures. There's no need for heparin, shunts, or hypothermia or bypass, and use the bypass drawn principle that I showed to you. Associate injuries are common. Here you see a patient. The innominate vein covers this area of the injury. Even externally, the innominate artery doesn't look too bruised, but when opened, you see the fractured intima with the Sutinski clamp beneath this injury. Here the bypass has been done. In this instance, we did not ligate the innominate vein. If it's in the way, cut it in half, put clamps on it, and at the end of the operation, you can elect to repair it or not. I usually elect to repair it. You see the Sutinski clamp on the innominate coming off the aorta, and here that area has been repaired. Here the operation's over, close the chest, send them home in 2 or 3 days. The an innominate artery post-traumatic pseudoaneurysm may be seen. Endovascular repair is increasingly being performed. I worry about emboli coming off of that innominate graft. We currently are not using this technique. This is from the literature. Superior vena cava is often in association with other injuries. 50% mortality in patients who have a subclavian injury, the superior vena cava injury. It's found often by surprise. It does not tolerate ligation, and in these individuals, consider a temporary shunt. I do want to mention azygos vein, which is a great vessel. It comes into the superior vena cava. Here it shows the collaterals into that azygos vein. You often stumble into this diagnosis as well, often through a median sternotomy, at which time you get the longest needle holder your operating room can give to you, either that or autoclave the smallest person in the table and drop them into the wound, because this is a posterior area, and it also has a high mortality. The innominate vein, if the azygos is open, can be ligated with impunity. And it can be re-anastomosed if possible. Avoid left-sided thoracic outlet syndrome by ligating both the azygos and the innominate vein. The left carotid interthoracic left carotid is diagnosed by arteriography. Again, the same incision as before. It is much deeper than you anticipated. So you have to dissect further down into the mediastinum, almost the posterior upper mediastinum from an anterior incision. Many reconstruction options occur here. At the end, regardless of your technique, think about flushing out the clot, the air, before you reestablish cerebral circulation. Here is such an injury. Here you see the bovine arch with the left carotid coming off of the innominate rather than the aortic arch. Here is the injury. Here is the repair. In the literature, there are a number of adjuvant techniques for subclavian injuries. Dr. Inaba is going to talk about those. I'm merely going to mention that subclavian injuries are increasingly repaired through endovascular technique, and he will cover that in his lecture. So I will stop there to allow time at the end for discussion.